smooth transition. Oh, no dark and earth and the roof can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to the gods unchanging and my brother, oh, to the gods unchanging, bend your hope on things eternal, oh, to gods unchanging, trust in him who will not.
Amen. Trust in him who will never leave you. Hallelujah.
Whatsoever is may bring, if I earthly friends forsake.
Hallelujah. Amen.
To him,
oh, how wonderful, let's hope to his unchanging and
oh,
my sister, oh, to God's unchanging
unchanging
air. Hallelujah. Covet not this world's vain riches.
Covet not this world's vain
riches. Oh, how foolish the vain riches
that so rapidly decay. See
changing and oh,
oh my brother,
when your journey is complete, when it's completed,
if to God you have been,
if you have been true,
well and bright the hope in glory, you're in rapture.
Changing and
go to God's unchanging.
Oh, my sister, my brother, my sister.
Oh, to God's unchanging.
Unchanging, hey!
very good song. Yeah, we all we like to hold in God and changing hand. Things to change, but God never change. It's the only secure way where we can put our trust on it. Let's straight away open our Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We read the three places from the Bible, then we go to Psalm 34, 19, just one verse each. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are they call it according to his purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, all things, it means good and evil. All work together to them that love the Lord. Believe or not, the scripture will tell us it's everything work together. It doesn't mean not only good things. Now, in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. Now, all things work together. It means that even the afflictions, it work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And the Lord deliver them from all. Now, we see it's not only good things that happen, that come from the Lord. Sometimes the Lord allows certain things. As we go, you will see it. From the Bible, even the book of... Let's read Mark before we could start. Let's read Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Read the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Mark 8, 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciple also, he said unto them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we know that a cross, it means suffering. Let us all enter to a time of prayer.
Nous donner la force afin que nous puissions vivre la vie ta sainte parole au nom puissant de Fils Jésus-Christ. Nous pouvons ainsi prier.
Most precious Lord Jesus Christ, once again we thank you, we love thee, we bless thy name, because you first love us, Father. We never seek you, it's you that seek us, Father. We have read thy word, we ask the anointing to come from above, that you shall anoint my lips and anoint the ears of my brethren, Father. We ask you also if there's any special need here, any special request. We can't name all them, Father, but we brought them at thy hand, that you shall take control of it, that you shall answer according to thy will. Because you says to your disciple, it's time when you pray, you ask that the will of God shall be done. And that's why we ask you that your will shall be done in each of us' life. We want also to remember the pastor and his family at thy hand, that you shall bless him, give him wisdom, Father. Give him the word in due season, that each time when he stand here, we be able to hear from thee, Father. Because we come here not to see one another, Father, not as a culture, Father, but we come to thy house believing that each time when you come, you will be there to meet with us, Father. Because you says that where two or three are gathered in thy name, you shall be in their midst, Father. Not because of our merit, it's because what you did 2,000 years ago, Father. You become a man that you should bring man to yourself, Father. That you should reconcile with man through the man Jesus Christ. That's why we have a boldness to come before thy presence and to make our sacrifice before thee, because we know that the veil was rent forever, that we shall have access to come before thy throne, Father. That's why we bring all our petition at thee, and believing, as you say yourself, in the day of your flesh, that everything you shall ask in my name, it shall be given unto thee, Father. We're not asking the things of this world, Father. We're asking a closer and a deeper walk with thee, Father. Grant us is our desire. Father, bless everything that will be said and everything that will be taken. For the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You maybe have a seat. We just want to look at those few scriptures. If we can give it a title, we can give it a dark hours. Now, from the book of Romans, where we read, we start reading there. It's a very good scripture. It really inspired me from the preaching of Brother Daniel Mazur. Something struck me while I was translating on Sunday. Something came upon me that this is something very good here that to bring in your mind. Then I went through and start reading my Bible and went to the story of many people in the Bible, and especially to the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and see how things happen there. And I went to read the prophet in many places, and that is perfectly right. Because the scripture says in Romans 8, and you will see why the things are that way. In Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. And you and I, we love the Lord, and the Lord choose us. That's why we are here tonight. If the Lord never choose us, we could not be here. We are not here because of man's choice. We are here because of the choice of God. And he proved it by election through the love that he manifests. It's through Christ. That the reason you and I, we are here tonight. And the scripture tell us that Paul speaking here with the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read from the beginning of chapter 8, you will understand why Paul said these things. And he says, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. And that you and I, we love the Lord. We can't emphasize enough on it. That when things happen to our life, when we go through certain things, the Lord allow them. And it's always for our goods. God can't allow something that is not beneficial to you and to me. Because we are the children of the Lord. And the Lord loves us. And he proved his love many times inside of our life. But when things go wrong, we think like the Lord is not with us. But that is not the case. Because David told us there in Psalm 34, 19, we read it. He said, many are the affliction of the righteous. Now, he doesn't say that the affliction of a sinner. A just man has many afflictions. But the Lord will deliver him from all them. Now, you see, that's something is very important. And if you never think about it, David didn't say that the affliction are of a sinner man. He said of a righteous. Many are the affliction. Now, it shows us, it's something that you have to think. It shows us that David is telling us that the afflictions, the hard time can happen to a just man. To a righteous man, these things to happen is normal. But it's with a purpose. The Lord allowed it with a purpose. And this affliction, it has an end. But during that period of the affliction, you must know how to judge God. And you will see in Job's life, the way he judged God in time of his affliction, it was perfect. He never judged God foolish. He was able to curse his birth, but he never cursed God. That in those times, it's a moment that you have to sit down and pray and read your Bible and to see during your affliction, maybe something that you put before the Lord and there's no answer on it. It doesn't mean that the Lord is not with you. Because the scripture tells us the opposite side. David said, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him from all. Now, Jesus tells us from the book of Mark where he read, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take your cross and follow me. It's speaking about the same thing, that the people that must follow the Lord Jesus Christ willingly, they must accept and they must put in their mind that is not a picnic. That is a portion of suffering that is reserved for you and reserved for me. That's the way of the scripture. And this modern gospel of today is not the same as the way the scripture says. It will become different because the gospel become the gospel of prosperity.
The gospel becomes a gospel of a blessing. If you don't have a blessing, it means that you inherit maybe a curse from your grandfather or from your father. It's contrary from what the Bible tells us. Because the Bible is telling us, David says here, many are the affliction of the righteous. Someone that is just, he doesn't have a sin. A just man has many afflictions. But today's gospel is totally different. If you are a Christian, you must have a paper, you must have money in your bank account, you must drive a luxury car and all these things. But we see in the scripture here, it is totally different. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to become to sit on glory, to sit on the throne, he went through suffering. And the scripture tells us that those suffering that brought him to glory. Now your suffering and my suffering, it will bring us to glory. It for the good of the Lord. You will see it from the scripture. Let's read in Hebrews. Most of the scripture are revision, but you must bear in mind that these things of the Bible, it never gets old. It's always new things. It's always something that is bringing power to our life. Now, the scripture tells us, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, thought he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, and he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, how did he get it? It's a true suffering, the scripture tells us. He suffered, and he became the author of eternal things. He became the author of eternal life. It's because of the suffering. You see, there is a crown time after suffering. And the prophet said there's no victory without suffering. Why God did these things in the life of Jesus Christ? Because it's the example of every Christian. You and I, you mortal, and my mortal is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the one that we follow. And now the scripture tells us in Romans, let's go to Romans 8 from verse 16. You'll see the scripture tells us that if we have to reign, if we must be the heir, like Christ, we must also suffer like him. Now that is something to put in mind, that there is a portion of suffering for the Christian. We can't suffer the same like Christ. We can't be put in the cross. But there is a portion of suffering that you and I must suffer. Now, in verse 17 of Romans 8, it says, now, if the children then heir of God, joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, for us to be glorified with Christ, we must suffer with him. Now, it's totally different from the gospel we hear in denominational church. It's different. It's contrary different from what they preach there. Because there, the blessing, it's a sign that God is with you. But here, the scripture telling us something different. That if we have to get to the throne, we must suffer like Christ. Because for Christ to get enthroned, he suffers first. Then he went to sit at the right hand of the majesty. At the right hand of God. How did he get there? It was through suffering. And he learned obedience through suffering. Those trials, those hard times, those moments that he was forsaken by his father, those are the things that brought him to glory. Those are the things that brought him now to the place where he can rule and reign over everything. That way, because of those suffering, and we see that this life of Christ, it explains it from the Old Testament and everywhere. And the prophet says now in Smyrna church age, and say in a plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. Now the character of Jesus Christ was perfected by suffering. Now suffering has something to play inside of your life and in my life. Those trials has a important part of our Christian life. Now, it means that something very important from it. But we must learn how to handle those time of crisis. Now, it's something that's very important. The prophet said in a plain language, the very character of Jesus Christ was perfected by suffering. The very character of God made flesh was perfected by suffering. And now, according to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, will come to a place of perfection. That through suffering, you and I will get to a place of perfection. Now, it's a part of life, not something that's abnormal. The prophet said, now, what happened? If children, then the heir of God, joined with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. Now, the reason for this is the character simply never made without suffering. Now, the character, it can't be made without suffering. That's why David shows us all this scripture in the Bible. And you will see as we go to Joseph, you will see that for him to get there, enthroned, even Old Testament, it didn't start with Christ. God showed that all these things that happened to the people, even the type of Christ, Moses, you will take him, Joseph, he went through trials, through suffering. And this thing has a purpose of their life. And those people are our examples. And it was proven in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet said the reason for this is that the character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. Now, character is a victory, not a gift. Now, you and I to be Christian, it's a gift. But a character is a victory. For us to be like Christ, we must overcome certain things. It's a victory. To be a son of God is a gift. But a character is a victory. Now, victory, you must go through war. And our enemy is life. Which it means that he'll be shooting arrows. God will allow him to do certain things the way he allowed to do with Job. Because we see that Job was a rational man, a just man. He didn't have any sin in his side that God could send suffering inside of his life. That God could allow him to go through hardship, hard time like he went. It wasn't because he was a sinner. It was God wanted to show something. God wants to get glory from the life of Job. That's what God allowed these things. But we see that sometimes as human beings, we understand things different from God. Because even Job friends, when they come to Job, they come to tell him that you may sin in secret. If you read Job chapter 1, you find it. That maybe you sin in secret. That's why these things happen to your life. You see, from people, from human being, the way we look at the things, if things goes wrong to someone's life, if things are not the way we think that things should be, we think that maybe something wrong with the brother, maybe something wrong with the sister. Why things are like this inside of his life? But we see that the scripture show us that these things are normal for a Christian. These affliction, these things to happen to your life and to my life, it's normal. Because if we took Joseph, for example, the prophet said Joseph was the perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Joseph, there was nothing recorded of his wrong inside of the Bible. He was loved by his father and hated by his brother. And it's a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same way the Lord Jesus Christ was loved by God and hated by Israel, his own brother. Now, the things work perfectly the same thing. And you see that Joseph went through things that there's no one of his brother went through these things. And it doesn't mean that his father didn't love him. And his father loved him more than all of his son. But he went through hard time. He went through things that Reuben, Simeon, no one of them went through it. Because there was a throne for him to sit before him. But before he could get to that throne, he must go through trial, through suffering. Now, before he could get to sit there, before the victory could come, he must go through those steps of his life. If he didn't understand them, like you and I, when misfortune, when things goes wrong inside of our life, many times we do not understand them. Why these things happen? Why this happened to my child? Why this happened to my wife? Why this happened to my own life? Why the things can't move the way I want them to move? As a human being, it's natural to think that way. But I will tell you that, brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that if these things goes that way, it doesn't mean that God is not with you. That is not the truth. It doesn't mean anything that if things goes that way, it means that God is not with you. Because we know that Joseph, his father loved him so much. His father loved him so much. And he was the beloved one. But his brethren hate him. But it doesn't mean that there was something wrong with Joseph. He was perfect. And he has to go to Egypt and been sold now as a slave. He went there doing his best. He, Joseph, been falsely accused. How he has to go to the prison for something that he never did it. It doesn't mean that there was something wrong with Joseph. But from the scripture, from reading David, we understand now that those afflictions, the Lord will deliver you from all them. Many are the affliction of the saints. Many are affliction of the righteousness. That God allowed these things to develop something inside of the life of Joseph. Because Joseph will not know how to handle his brother if everything went well with them. No, these things, because remember, even when he has to reveal himself out to them, so don't take it for wrong. These things, everything work together for those that love the Lord. These things, for you, you think that you meant it for evil, but God sent me this way is to save your life. Now, he understand later, but maybe the time that these things were happening, he could think sometime in the doubt, is this my genuine brother? It's not maybe we are different brother. Maybe we are cousin. Maybe he just sit there for certain purpose. This man, Jacob, want to make us brethren. How come they can do these things to me? But Joseph, why? Where is God then? If there's a God somewhere, he must see that me, I'm not guilty in these things. And the dream didn't come from me. The dream come from God. It's God who made them inside of me. God made me a prophet. I didn't manufacture it to these things. But why these things are wrong, come against me? Is there something wrong with me? He may take a time and say, no, let me go. Maybe seek the face of the Lord and see maybe something is wrong with him. Maybe we'll go and call upon the name of the Lord. But the Lord never answer. The Lord see that everything is perfect with Joseph. There's nothing wrong. But me, I allow this thing to happen to your life. Because you are the perfect type of Christ. I must develop certain character inside of you that you'll be able to fit to rule. Because you can't rule if there's no character. Power without character, the prophet say, is satanic. That's why God allowed these things to happen to your life and to my life. Not that because we sin or our great father sin or something happened. No. If something happened like that, but that doesn't come from God, is that you have to pay for it. But we're speaking here for the things that happen to the children of God. We're speaking here that God allows certain things with a purpose. God put you through trial with a purpose because God wants to develop something inside of your life. Now God wants to show you, to bring you to a deeper experience with him. God wants to manifest himself in a certain way that you could have assurance inside of you and could have full confidence inside of your life that God is always there. No matter what happens, no matter what goes, God is always with me. And the prophet says now, the cloudy skies and the storm of life are not sign of God's disapproval. These things that happen to us, these things that happen to Jobs, it doesn't mean that God is not with Job. There was a discussion there. There was a conflict there. between God and Satan. Satan said that this man, he saved you because you bless him. God said, I'm going to show you. I will take everything for him. He will never stop coming to church. He will never stop praying because he doesn't have anything. He will never stop worshiping me. He will never deny my name that I'm his creator. I'm Jehovah. He will still worship me. He will still do things as normal for my kingdom's sake. God wants to prove the devil. Because many times the devil also go to the presence of God. Because the scripture says the devil went to the presence of God and to accuse his son Job. And he was a righteous man, the Bible says. And there was nothing to blame him. He was walking according to the will of God. But now something happened suddenly. He said, but this Job, he has a lot of things. God has blessed him. He has riches. He has a wife. He has children. God bless him. But look, suddenly, a corner been taken inside of Job's life. What's going on? And his friend come and say, this man, we never see such a thing like that before. This man must be sinning in secret. Something must happen to the life of this man. How these things can happen to his life? But we find in the scripture that it's a part of a Christian life. It's normal. It was God that allowed it. Job didn't understand, as you many times, as I. We do not understand why these things happen. But the scripture, when you read them, when you meditate upon the scripture, you go through and read them. You say, these things are normal for a Christian to have this affliction, for a Christian to go through trial. These things are normal. There's nothing abnormal here. Everything is working according to the scriptures. Everything is perfect here. As long as you know there's nothing between you and God, you just rest. You know that there's nothing between me and my God. No matter what happened, no matter what the devil is trying to whistle inside of my ears, it's nothing that can move the love of God by me. And the prophet says something very good. And he says, neither a bright sky and still waters sign of his love and approval. It doesn't mean that still waters and a bright sky are the approval of the love of God. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is election which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Hey, yes. But now, shall we know? How shall we know? We shall know because he said so. We shall know that God loves us because God says so. That's the only way we shall know. Now, we shall not measure. We should not measure the love of God because of the riches, because of the blessing of the material things. That's what the prophet is advising us. That we shall not measure because we will have a wrong measurement. If we start measuring God because of the blessing of the things of this world, it will be something wrong. And the prophet said, manifest that he did love us and he brought us himself and gave us his spirit, placing us as a son. And how shall we prove? How shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trial that he in his wisdom allowed to come to pass. Now, God's wisdom allowed the trial to come to our life. That's the wisdom of God. Your trial and my trial, it come from the wisdom of God. Because from the wisdom of God, that God allowed that the Hebrew children to go through these things. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. It's the wisdom of God. It's something that they didn't do anything wrong. They were perfect in the line with the gospel. They were worshiping the Lord as God says that they should worship. God says that they should not worship any God apart from him. And these people, they say, we will never even change our worship because of the fiery furnace. We will still worship God. No matter the pressure, we will not compromise. We will not sell our birthright because we want to save our life. Because Jesus said, the one who saves his life will lose it. But if you give your life for the kingdom of God, you will save it. Now you see that these people, they never met Jesus, but they knew the principle of the scripture. They knew that there's something here, that if we try to save our life, we try to compromise with the pressure of the king, we will lose our life. Let's accept it now. And I like the scripture the way it says. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 16, we want to read. You can read yourself. When the king asked them, he said, what you will do? He said, king, in this matter, we will not think to answer you. In this matter, we can't compromise. We will worship God. We will not worship another God. And our God will deliver us from this trial. You see, it was for the glory of God. And at the end of the story now, if you read the scripture, you will see at the end of the story, God get glory. God get glory. And they say, surely, this people has God. And this is the only God that people must worship. Because they see God manifest inside of their life. Now, in this hard time, in this dark hour, they never judge God foolish. They never judge it. They say, no, these things must happen. This is a portion of a Christian life. It's a portion of someone that walk with God. It's a portion of someone that walk with Elohim. Why should we change things? These things happen to our great father. These things happen to Joseph. Why should we escape from these things? The prophet said God can't escape any of his children. All the children of God must go through trials. If you are a children of God, these things must happen to you. And that's what the prophet said. The prophet said, these physical things are not the true basic necessity of your life. For a man's life consists not of the things he possessed, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all material necessities will be added unto you. Now, these people, they knew something very good here. They learned a principle that inside of us seeking the favor of the king, no, the king of the king is greater than this king of Babylon. Let's seek us to get favor with the king of the king, not the Babylonian king. No, this man will pass away. But if we have the favor of God now, he will be able to deliver us. Not us as a Christian. That what we supposed to seek for is the kingdom of God, and to be sure that our house, our children, ourselves, sorry, we are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the important things, other things, the Lord will give them. Because the prophet said, people of God are not material minded. They are Christ minded. They do not seek the treasure of that are below. They seek those above. Now they seek the treasure that are above. Now if we are the children of God, we shall seek the treasure that is above. But when we go to the valley now, that's where the trouble is. We go to the valley, that's where the things start coming to our life. We start thinking like a human being. It's the same way as our great father David had it one day. He envied the evil. He envied the wicked. It happened to our life. But quickly, we must learn a lesson that these things should not be where we should put our heart. Because it can happen. I can't say that it can't happen. No. We are human. We are living in this flesh. It can happen. It happened to David. It happened with Elijah. We saw it with Brother Daniel. Many things happened to his life. But quick, you must eat the word of God and see where you have to stand and see that these things are not abnormal. For misfortune, for this thing to happen to our life, it's a part of a Christian life. We should not best our judgment to God because of the material things. And the prophet, it's absolutely true. The majority of the Christian are not wealthy. That's what the prophet says. It's not me. It's what the prophet says. It's the majority of them. Now, why the prophet says so? That we should not judge God because of the material things. We should not judge God because of the things of this world. No. We should judge God by his election, by his love to you and I. He loves us. He comes to you and I. Why God could leave all the great people of this world and come and reveal the message of the hour to you and I. And we know that it was something that God did it. It's a portion of God's love that come to you and I. People are totally in darkness. They don't know what's going to happen next. But you and I, humble people that we are, nobody to the eyes of this world, but God's choice and election make us to know the mind of God. And this suffering, the prophet say, those suffering is that God should develop a Christ-like character inside of your life and inside of my life. That these things are important. It has its part inside of your life and it's my life. And we know that these things are not there forever. It's only Christ that was made a sacrifice forever, not you and I. Now you and I, there's a portion of time that these things will have an end. And at the end of it, we laugh like Job. We laugh the same thing. Because Job, he get the double of everything that he had. Everything that, he lost, God doubled them at the end of it. Now we must learn something very important in our Christian life. Because if we have to judge God through the things we go through, because I'm laying in the bed of the hospital, it means that something, God is not there. Maybe God doesn't love me. No, that is not true. That is the your mind. It's not what God says. But that what God says, it matters to your life. It matters to my life. It's not what the mind says or what another brother says about you. No, it should not matter. What God says to you and to me, that is what matters. What other people says, what our mind says, is not what matters. Even the brother shows us on the weekend, you see. Sometimes our own mind, it condemns us many times. Is that matter? No, it doesn't matter. What matter that God send his begotten son, that you, a sinner, should take a part in the kingdom of God. That is what matter. Because if you look to our mind, there's no even one of us could come here tonight and pray. Because even these days that we are here tonight, starting from the morning, how many times in your mind that your mind condemn you? Is the Christ say the same thing? No, Christ will be saying different. That you are justified, but your mind will still condemn you. My mind will still condemn me. That we should not listen to our mind or to what someone else says. We should listen to what God says. If God call us righteous, because David says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them from all. How a man born in sin can be righteous? No, it's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are just. If it's not the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, David could not speak about a righteous man. How can you be righteous? Because all of us, we are sinners. The scripture says all that born of women are sinners. And you and I, we come that way. The only one that come a different way, in a miracle way, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he take away your sin and my sin. That him, the righteous one, should become a sin, that you and I could become righteous. That it was Christ that he did it. That what matter, that the love that matter, everything else that happened, it's a part of life. Let's read the book of First Peter. Let's read First Peter 4 to show that these things are normal for them to happen to our life. These things happen to our life. It's normal. Because sometimes we think that these things are normal, are abnormal. But the things, the trial, the suffering, the all things that happen to our life, it's normal. It's for the glory of God. And God made it there for a purpose. Now, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though something strange things happen unto you. Now you see, that when the trial come, we should not thought as something strange happened to us. Now when it happened to Job, as a human being, when he's lower there, he may think that, something strange, Why these things happen to me? But the scripture is telling us that these things are normal there. For you to go through hard time, for you to go through certain things inside of your life, it's a normal day. If for the glory of God, how God can be a Jehovah Jireh if there's no need? I just think that has to happen today. How can he manifest himself as a yesterday, today, and forever? If there's no similar things to happen, now these things must happen. Now, how will you know that God is a savior if there's no sin there? Something must happen. These things is normal for it to happen. We should take it as a stranger. Say, why these things happen? It's a strange thing that happened to me. Now, the scripture here is telling us that a Christian life, these things are normal, not abnormal. You don't think that if something happened, someone is sick, or someone is in bad condition, that the person must sin. No, it's not always the case. That's wrong. The prophet say you can't say that, Brother Neville has a car accident. Brother Neville must have something wrong. He must did something wrong. The prophet said, no, that is not the truth. The scripture show us now. That's these things that come to us. It's God developing a character inside of us. Because Romans 8, 16, 17 tell us now. If you have to be the joint heir with Christ, we must suffer with him. Then we can be glorified with him. If there's no suffering, we can't be glorified with Christ. That's why the prophet say in deceived the church by the world. He said Christianity is not a picnic. It's a battlefield. It's not a picnic. You can't tell someone that once you become Christian, everything will go right with you. No. There's no one, a single Christian, can say a such a thing. The prophet say, if the church is a church and never went through trial, never went through suffering, it's not the church of God. It's every church of God must go through these things. He explained how the church of God, even starting with the Ephesian church, it went through persecution and all these things. These things have to come to the life of the people. If you take church as an individual, that these things are normal to come to our life. But when we are down in the valley, we think that something wrong. We think that God can't hear my prayer. We think that something wrong with God. Why God allowing these things? But the scripture tell us, let me finish with the scripture we read in Romans chapter 8. The scripture show us that all these things happen to the good of those that love the Lord. It's not something wrong. All these things that we see, good and evil. And many times, because the David said, many are the affliction of the righteous. These things happen. They are part of our life. Now, we should not judge God foolish. We should not bring our own judgment and measure God with it. No. We look what the word of God says. The problem today with the Christian world, because there's another gospel that is different from the genuine gospel. There's another gospel that the people brought, but Paul tells us, even an angel come from heaven, and he bring another gospel, let him be a curse. That's why Elijah has to come now to restore everything, to bring everything back to the original state. The faith that was once delivered to the saint, that you must contain of it. That is the genuine faith. Because it shows, starting from the Bible, from the beginning of everything, from Genesis, it shows that the Christians sometimes, they go through suffering. The Christian life is not always, it's just month and month. No, there also valley, where you find yourself in a condition that say, it looks like I'm abandoned by God. It looks like there's nothing is moving. But the scripture tells us, Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them whom are they called according to his purpose. To them who are they called according to God's purpose, according to God's destiny. These things, good and evil, all happen together for our good. It happened for our good. These things of good, sometimes we don't like them to happen. It's for you good and my good. Because one song says, we will understand it better by and by. That's what the song says. Now, when the things happen, it's difficult for you to understand. But when they are happening now, and God bring you to the mountain again, and you see that it was perfect for this period of my life, things to happen that way. God allowed these things. God's wisdom allowed that these things should happen. It was a purpose. It was with a purpose. It's for you good and my good. And God can't brought evil to his people. No. God allowed these things. All those circumstances. Good one and the evil one. It's for you good and my good. It will bring a good things at the end of it. And as a Christian, we should best our judgment. And we should measure God not in our own way. We should measure God by his word. What God says, and that what is the truth. What the word says about you, what the word says about me, is what that is what matter. Not what other people says. Because as we see it in the Bible, because Job's people, they were genuine. Maybe they didn't know what else to advise Job. They come and say, my friend, tell us. Maybe you have sinned in secret. How do we see your life? Say it from the beginning. Just everything going perfect. But the prophet said, Christian life, it can't be that way. It's sometimes they have to be down. And sometimes there's a mountain. Now God wants to change and to prove the people that there's a people that will worship God. No matter what will happen. The prophet said, even today, they will tell me that there's no Jesus. I will still worship him. Even they come today, someone say there's no Jesus. I will still worship him. I will still love him as the same way I did before. Because it's a love matter. That was that something is inside of you. And there's nothing that could move Job's from the love of God. Because the scripture says now, in the same chapter, Romans 8, verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? So nothing should separate us from the love of Christ. Because at the end of it, there's a greater reward than this temporary suffering. There's a greater reward waiting there. If Joseph now could judge things is on way, how could we be able to sit on the throne in Egypt? It's not possible. There was a great portion of reward for Joseph there. He has to go through those suffering. Nothing should separate him from the love of his father. And you and I, nothing, nakedness. There's nothing, famine, poverty. Nothing should separate from the love of God. But he loved us first before even we love him. Where we were separated from him. And he come and call us to himself. That is what the matter. It's something that if we can bring it tonight in a prayer, it'll be something that can comfort many of us tonight. When I was reading myself and meditating, it comforted me a lot. It changed my view of many things in life. You find yourself, you say, why are things going that way? But it showed the scripture says, these things are normal for a Christian to go through these things. Now when you read the scripture, say, no, these things are normal. The affliction has to happen to your life. Trial must happen to my life. That these things, God ordained them. Because we will reign with Christ. But how does Christ reign? How does Christ get to the throne? The scripture says he get to the throne through suffering. He learned obedience. And he's there in the throne. And you and I, we will sit with him. Will you want to go there to heaven? Just easy. You want to go in a golden bed to heaven? No, you must fight to reign. That's what the song says. You must fight. You must get there the way Jesus get there. Because it's the model. It's the way. And the same way you and I, we have to get there. And those afflictions there, they are not permanent. Because David told us that many are affliction of the saints. But the Lord delivered them from all. Your trial and my trial, I'm telling you, it has an end. God didn't pray destinated them forever. No, it has an end. Everything has its end. You need and my need. One day, God will manifest it. Because God predestinated us for that. He will manifest it. It look like the sky. There are dark. You can't see anything. There's no sign from heaven. But the prophet says it doesn't mean that God's disapproval with you. No, it doesn't mean anything like that. It's a part of life. We must grow through it. God must bring all his children to judgment. And the prophet said one day he went in the hospital. He said that was his dark hour. And he said every son of God has to go through it. And the doctor tell him that with your stomach pain, you can't live more than 2 years. The prophet said there, something was happened. And he has to go through that pain in the stomach. We know why. The prophet explained why God has to punish him that way. Because he didn't follow what God wanted him to follow. And from there, what it bring glory in God's sight. It brought something that to give him a character like Christ. That to obey everything that God says. You see that some of the things that happen to our life, God allowed them in his wisdom that we should have a character like Christ. An obedient character sometime. That God wants to teach us a lesson. That this thing happened to you. I want to draw your attention to something. I want to draw your attention to something. I want to show you that I'm always there to take care of your life. I'm always there to guide you. Don't not judge my love to you according to your own mind. Judges according to my word. It's me that created you. It's me that take control of everything. And the scripture says, if you earthly fathers, if your son ask you a fish, you can't give him a snake. What about God? If we ask God, the heavenly father, the creator of everything, in him there's no nothing wrong. There's no sin in him. And you and I will be fighting day and night to work hard for the future of our children. What happened to God then? Because we are the children of God. What happened if you have to work hard? You have to work every morning to go and drop your children in school. If you could make all those sacrifices, what will happen in the earthly God for your life and my life? He will work his all his best to make sure that there's a good end for you. There's a blessed end for you. That's what God will do. But there's things in life, even our earthly fathers, we discipline our children. We bring them through things that are hard, that it could develop something inside of them, that they could be able now to inherit what you have. It's the same thing as you and I. If we are joint heir with Christ, God must develop a character like Christ inside of our life, that we shall be able to heir the throne with Christ. Let all stand. We sing a song, then we'll enter to a time of prayer.
Dieu tout puissant, c'est l'enseignant, ô Dieu bien-aimé, que je base mes jugements sur ta sainte parole. Ce que toi tu as dit de moi, c'est ce qui compte, et ce n'est pas ce que mes pensées disent, ce n'est pas ce que quelqu'un d'autre dise, Père éternel, Dieu bien-aimé, Seigneur. Dans la vie de tout et chacun de nous, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, sois loué et glorifié pour toutes choses, pour tout ce que toi tu es en train de faire pour nos vies, Seigneur Jésus-Christ. Bénis mon frère Cheslin, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, que toi tu puisses pourvoir à ses besoins, que toi tu puisses lui donner quelque chose, que tu puisses le fortifier et que cela puisse amener la vie chrétienne à sa vie.
Sing a song if there's any prayer request. Before we ask about a Vlad to close with a word of prayer, if any prayer request. If there's no prayer request, let's sing one. Ask Vlad to close with a word of prayer.
Singing this song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
Yes, Lord.
We are so thankful,
yes, Lord,
that you didn't leave us, oh Lord, that you gave us full counsel of Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That we can really trust, that we know what is will of God.
Yes, Lord.
That you lead us wherever you want.
Amen.
Lord. That you want to form our Amen. Character by your will.
Yes, Lord.
You will do whatever you want,
oh yes, Lord.
May your name will be glorified.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we are so thankful for those things.
Yes, Lord.
That we can see when you lead us through things we don't expect, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But your hands is there, oh Lord.
Amen.
And you are forming us in certain way,
yes, Lord.
Oh Lord, to be in your character, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It's our desire. We want to just ourselves submit.
Please,
whatever
Lord.
You want, oh Lord. Whatever yes, Lord. Is your desire, oh Lord.
Yes,
may
Lord.
That desire will be in our heart, oh Lord.
Please, Lord.
May, oh Lord, from our deep of our heart will bring glory and honor to you, oh
yes, Lord.
Lord. We want to just bless your name.
Yes, Lord.
Glorify your name.
Yes,
we want
Lord.
To testify about you.
Yes,
that
Lord.
You are good God, oh Lord.
Yes,
wherever, whatever happens, oh Lord. We want to commit everything into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
Even petitions, O Lord. Even yes, Lord. Unspoken.
Yes, sir.
Like we even submitted before. My mom.
Yes,
whatever, Lord. Brother Robert's father, O Lord. Whoever, whatever is, O Lord. We want to just put
Hallelujah.
Into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
Because we believe that everything is in your hands.
Yes.
Devil can do this and that. Devil can come and speak to our ears. In our heart, O Lord. But we believe that everything is in your hands.
Amen.
Everything is in your control, O
yes, Lord.
Lord. May the world will be shaken here and there. But everything is in your hands, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May your name will be glorified.
Please,
when
Lord.
We leave this place,
yes,
we
Lord.
Want to take your name with us.
Yes.
We want to breathe your name. Be with us. Be with our families. We commend even our children to your hands.
Yes, Lord.
May your spirit be upon them, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Be upon us. Bless yes. Brother Francois,
please, Lord.
Who laid his time, his family aside,
yes,
just
Lord.
To study Word of God
yes,
and bring counsel of God.
Yes, Lord.
Bless everyone, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
Restore our strengths.
Yes, Lord.
Bless our needs, what we need. If
please.
There is work, whatever is, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
We are so thankful that everything is in your hands.
Yes,
in
Lord.
The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commit those things. Forgive our sins, trespasses. We just put ourselves into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think the chorus has been dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I looked over and what did I see? Coming for to carry me.
Carry